Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, Doug.
Hello, Doug Benson.
I blew it last week, dude, when Oscar Nunez was on.
What happened?
He played Father Doug on the TV show People of Earth.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, I don't know what he would have had to say about it, but, you know, we had him in the barrel, but we didn't take any shots at him. But don't worry, today's guest, Jimmy Pardo, host of the Never Not Funny podcast, part of the Misfit Toys podcast collective. I'll just make sure that he gets asked if he's ever played a character named Doug.
There we go.
You know,
cover our bases.
Yeah. And I was thinking for the, when we get to the eat some leftovers part, if we both say it in unison, I think over Zoom, like it just makes one of our mics cut out. So I was thinking when we get to that part, I'm going to say, you know, something to the effect of, all right, Jimmy, it's time for you to, or we'd like you to, and then you jump in and say, eat some leftovers. You know, you could do it any voice you want, but cool. Something, you know, something jarring would be good.
Right. Jarring. Like a theme song.
Yeah, exactly. We should get the guy that did the theme song. I should get him to also make a sting. To eat some leftovers.
Perfect.
All right, cool. Let's go to work. Hello, Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah, that's my intro. Hello.
Yeah, we just say hi. We do a cold open where we talk all about who you are so we don't have to, you know, get into that with you to your face.
Okay.
We just bring you right in, introduce you to the other Doug, Doug Mellard.
Hello,
Doug.
And you already know him. You know he doesn't bite, and he'll be here hanging out. And, yeah, it's pretty low tech. I like your, you have your picture on Zoom, Jimmy, is a, you have a Never Not Funny face mask on.
Yes. A fan was nice enough to make those. And then we sold them and gave the proceeds to, the frontline workers. They did all right. And, I think they're a really cool looking mask.
So you got like a box of them in the garage is what you're saying.
I don't have any here. She did all the shipping. If there is a box, she has them. But I do know that we bought a stethoscope. I think that's what we were able to provide.
Oh, okay. Those are expensive.
Are they? I don't know. I actually thought maybe that was the cheapest thing. For humor, I was going for something low. I don't know anything about the cost of stethoscopes in 2021.
What do they call the thing that you get? They test your reflexes with that little rubber hammer.
Oh, Mallet? Doug Mallard?
Yeah.
I think it's called Doug Mallard.
Yeah. I think it's just Doug a rubber mallet.
I can tell you from personal experience that Doug Mallard is cheaper than a stethoscope.
you know him better than I do. Don't know from stethoscopes. I stopped following the price of stethoscopes like right around 2010.
I had a prop stethoscope for a while, but I don't know where I put it.
Doug, it's around here somewhere. Prop birds. Did you ever by any chance have prop birds?
Yeah, I had little wind up birds that I would place on my glasses. And you know, as soon as I got LASIK, that bit was ruined.
That was, you know what, I used to do the bit too about, like if I saw a horrible movie, I would say I saw the trailer for that. I wouldn't see that movie if it was playing in my glasses. And yeah. It got, it would kill, and then it was one of those jokes like, well, now I have LASIK, and I lost just one line, but I lost a nice laugh.
Yeah, it's a solid piece of business, but it got a big laugh from us today because our cameras are off, and we're just imagining that you have glasses on.
Well, you know what I do? I actually have my reading glasses on for this reason. If you're looking for a 3M Littmann Classic 3 stethoscope, we're looking at about $79. Oh, wait.
Oh.
I apologize. The 3M Littmann Core digital stethoscope is $349. So you could pay some money on a stethoscope is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you get what you pay for. You know, there's some that are just the one that's like a cup at the end of a string. That one's not as good.
But you're also not paying a lot of money for it. So
you're not. And you're giving yourself something to do, putting it together.
I will say this. And again, I don't know where the money went specifically. I'd like to think it went to the stethoscopes. But at the end of the day, I'm the hero for providing something for those frontline workers. It really is me.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you for acknowledging it. Thank you.
We can't miss that point. It doesn't matter how much was raised. It matters who was raised for. Yeah. And, you know, I say if there is a box of those things somewhere, I would like one. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I could certainly get you one. I will talk to the powers that be.
Yeah, see if they, and I think there's more of a market out there for them as well. Just us talking them up could probably sell an extra two or three.
easily two.
Sure.
Welcome to Wide World of Doug's. Started off as a podcast just about the name Doug, but seriously, how long can you talk about that? We do like to start talking about names, and the name of our guest is where we start. Growing up, Jimmy James Pardo. How did that? How do you feel that name worked out for you? Are you pleased with it?
Well, you know what? Most of my life, I was Jim Pardo, and my mom would call me Jimmy, and. For second grade, the teacher called me James, and all the kids called me James, and I hated every second of it. And then I hated my mom calling me Jimmy because I felt like a little boy. But as I got older, then my friends started calling me Jimmy as a nickname. And so here's what happened. Fun in quotes, depending on what, you know, if you enjoy it at the end of this. When I went to my very first open mic and to sign up, I wrote down Jim Pardo, and my friends that were there with me, who were the ones that called me Jimmy, they went, but you're not Jim, you're Jimmy, that we call you Jimmy. So I wrote down Jimmy Pardo, and here we are. That's why I was Jimmy and not Jim as a comedian, because of that one day.
Yeah, there's just moments where you have to pick what's going to happen. You know, you see it in movies and it seems phony that like, oh, he didn't switch to that for the rest of his life in right. that one moment. But that's all it takes. I think it was a good choice. I mean, you know, like Jim Gaffigan, but like just Jim to me doesn't seem like a fun person. In fact, just looking at him, Jim Gaffigan doesn't seem like a fun person.
You know what? I'll agree with that too. But, and I also think that the other one, you know, Jim Carrey, I think you need it to flow. And I don't think Jim Pardo flows on stage. I think Jimmy Pardo does.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
That said, Bruce, Doug, I talked to my manager, Bruce, about changing it maybe 10 years ago, where I felt like once again, like, maybe Jimmy sounds too young for me. And he just went, really? Johnny Carson? I'm like, all right, we're done with the conversation. Very good. Yeah.
Oh, Brucey knows what to say.
It was perfect. It was like, I thought it was going to be like a 20-minute conversation. And he goes, the second he said, really, Johnny Carson, like, conversation's over. I don't even know why I called you. I apologize.
Have a good day.
The funny man gets to, gets to run with that the whole time, you know, like Soupy Sales never had to cut back to just soup.
That's a good point, right?
it was the first one that came to mind. I thought, oh, that is perfect.
I love it. Here's another fun thing. My dad, I'm a junior. I'm James Pardo Jr. And my dad's mom, a nice old Italian lady, because I was the second, she called me Jim Jim. So I was Jim Jim from her and that side of the family for maybe my first 10 years.
That's awful, an right? interesting one. Yeah, yeah. That just sound, I don't know what.
It's like Jar Jar.
Yes. Yusa people going to die?
I'm going to start calling you Doug Doug. I don't think it works.
You know, I was just reading the other day that guy, Ahmad Best, you know, there's rumors that he's going to be in, you know, one of these upcoming Star Wars things. And he squashed rumors saying, no, you know, Jar Jar's not coming back. You know, I'm not going to play Jar Jar again. But then it went on to talk about how, like, he would get death threats and stuff. And I'm just like, I was never mad at that guy who plays Jar Jar.
Right.
Right.
Like, why is there anger? So why did they find his name and look him up when you can just, you know, take a picture of Jar Jar and say anything you want about the character? I mean, I know it still would have upset him and he probably takes it personally even at that level, but to just track him down and give him death threats for being Jar Jar, that's really wild.
And by the way, a gig any of us would have taken if it was offered to us.
Oh, I know. I tease Greg Proops all the time because he's this stupid two-headed sportscaster right. thing in the Phantom Menace.
which by the way, when I saw it in Las Vegas, I was working at the Improv at Harrah's and I went to the first showing at the movie theater and nobody was there. And, so I was able to stretch out on a couple of seats and I fell asleep.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Sounds about right.
And I do remember waking up to Greg Proops' voice and then going, oh good. At least I could walk out of here with some positive thing.
Did you yes. did you ever circle back and watch the whole thing?
I did, and you know, felt the same as most of the rest of the world. Like, oh, that was rather boring.
Yeah, really took all the fun out of Star Wars.
It really did. Yes, agreed. But then it came back with that. I don't know the names. I'm not that deep into it. But the one that came out maybe 10 years ago, 7 years ago,
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens with boy, when that Millennium Falcon shows up for the first time, I'm not the biggest Star Wars guy, but that showed up, I got chills. It was exciting.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. No, they played that right. And then, you know, it's been kind of shaky until Mandalorian. I think Mandalorian's kind of,
oh, it's so good.
It's fixed everything. Cause it's just so, it just feels like the Star Wars that was, you know, that George Lucas originally created, you know, like, it's like they took the, you know, keys away from him and, you know, they're driving, you know, the car, keeping it pristine for him. You know, it's just so strange.
I'm not watching. My son loves The Mandalorian. I was not going to invest in that because I guess I'm wrong based on you and what everybody else says,
because
those movies were so stinking boring after Force Awakens that, I was out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's back. I mean, they get a lot of your attention through cuteness because Baby Yoda is like the cutest thing ever.
Right.
But the character Mandalorian and his quest and just how the whole vibe of it. Cause that's the thing to me is that Star Wars has never been able to really like capture that first, you know, that first movie. Like obviously the second one, Empire was, you know, everybody thinks that one was better and they're right. But then beyond that, it's like, it just kept getting further and further away from that for why we like that very yeah. first Star Wars. I think, but of course nerds can argue about this all day long about all the ways that it went wrong. But I definitely feel like the crew that's in charge of this new thing, there's, you know, Jon Favreau and Taika Waititi, they're like such big fans. Peyton Reed, they're all big fans of that very first Star Wars. And so they know that vibe, you know, and they're able to continue with the show.
Yeah, it feels like a clean slate in many ways, which is good. That's exactly what they needed after the Solo film that came out.
Yeah, and the Star Wars ride, if you do go back to Disneyland ever again, like if you get a really nice, you know, family-sized hazmat suit, the Star Wars Rise of the Resistance thing at Disneyland is very, it's very well done. It's very, it feels like you're in a Star Wars movie. It's pretty crazy.
Oh, wow. Great. Yeah, we're going to go back, I guess, at some point. 2024 is what we're looking at. So it's, we're excited.
Yeah. So Oliver likes that sort of thing.
He does. He's a, you know, he's a big comic book guy. He loves going to the, you know, the local Comic-Con, the Stan Lee one. And he makes until last year, he would make his own costume. He was Mr. Mix Picklitz or whatever that guy's name is.
Mitzelplick.
What, say it again, please?
Mitzelplick? Is that the guy?
Yeah, Mitzelplick. Yeah, he was him. Yeah. And then he was Plastic Man 1 year. And then he was somebody else another year, obviously. But these costumes were like, he's walking around and all the other nerds are like, look at this guy doing this costume. Look at this guy doing this guy. And so we got a nice charge out of that. And, you know, he enjoyed it. And he got to meet Stan Lee because of my father-in-law. So, he's all into that stuff.
Oh, boy, that worked out pretty good for him then.
It did. You know, he got to, you know, because of Walter, he got to cut the line and meet Stan Lee. And, you know, Stan Lee was in a chair and did the pose that he did with every other person that took a photograph with him.
I love that sort of thing. And what do you think Oliver's take is on the name Oliver? Do you think he's enjoying it?
Oh, that's a great question. I think he likes it. yeah, I think he does. You know, when we named him Oliver, there weren't a lot of Olivers in the world. Then that became a very popular kid name. So at first it was, people were like, oh, interesting. Oh, old school, huh? Okay. And then it, you know, it's taken off. So, and then there's a lot of famous Olivers. I think he likes it. That's a long-winded way to go to that.
I think I think you'd know about it if he didn't like it. You know, like I think kids, if they don't like their name, they start, you know, toying with the idea of, you know, how do I get out of this?
Yeah, there's no chatter of that. His nickname is, or not his nickname, his middle name is Griffin. So I always call him Oliver Griffin. The two kind of go back to, they kind of pair nicely.
That's a strong name.
Oliver Griffin. That's a great, like, if he wants to go into show business, I suggest he goes with that over, I wouldn't anchor himself to this Pardo name. That's just going to sink him.
Would have been strange if we asked, how's he like it? And you're like, well, just today he told me he absolutely hates it.
I will share this with you guys. His nickname since he was, literally a week and a half old was Silly Goose. And then, it was Silly Goose until he got too old, and then it was just Goose. I called him Goose, and I still call him Goose to this day. And every time I do it, he does have the look on his face like, dude, that has to end. It has to. you cannot. I'm going into high school. You can't call me Goose when you drop me off from high school. And
I don't know. I feel like nicknames like that as a kid, they're cool as a kid. And then there is that middle period, like middle school, where it's not cool. But it's at a certain point, I feel like it comes back around and it can be cool again.
I think so, too. But I think he's right in the middle of, and, you know, like if he wasn't at home doing Zoom school and was on campus, I think the talking to about Goose would have happened already. It would have been right. It's time to retire this dad. And again, he's not wrong. He's entirely right. You know, you call somebody something for 13 years, it's hard to shake it loose.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is it's still going to slip out sometime, and it's going to be the one where you really shouldn't say it, and right. You're going to say it anyway because that's what parents are going to do.
My to that point, my wife Danielle and I, we were joking the other day about like if when he gets old enough and he starts bringing girls home to, like, to introduce us to a girlfriend or something. And we're like, did he tell you that his nickname is Goose, short for Silly Goose? And then just have that girl run out to the car and leave.
Well, he wouldn't be so embarrassed by it if he just thought ahead and, you know, nicknamed him Iceman.
Well, that's true. But, and that is the other thing. Goose, of course, spoiler alert, dies in Top Gun. And so like, it's not for that point, it is not a great a nickname. So, yeah, we're going to switch it over to the Iceman.
Can I have a less morbid nickname, Dad?
No kidding, right? But it's short for Silly Goose.
Silly geese never die.
That's true.
I mean, was that so? What's his name? Anthony Edwards looked like a goose to somebody when he got the name?
Oh, that's a good point. Why was that his nickname?
Because everybody's name was such a like badass nickname. Why does the one goofier guy get a goofy nickname? Why didn't he complain? You know, like Steve Buscemi complaining about being Mr. Pink.
Oh, is that true? I didn't know that story.
Oh, in the
movie. Okay,
The character does. So why doesn't Goose the character? Maybe he does. I haven't seen it in a minute, but maybe at one point Anthony Edwards is like, I wish people would stop calling me Goose.
It, you know what? It might be in the DVD extras because we ended up watching it. Maybe at some point during this pandemic, we watched Top Gun, and you know, we've watched 125 movies. I think we've watched during the pandemic, and we rank them. We do this whole family thing where we rank our movies, and we do these big reveals, and it's fun for the 12 minutes that's happening. Top Gun was a movie that, you know, in 1986 when it came out, I absolutely loved it and thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
And in rewatching it, boy, it's not very good.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That'll happen sometimes.
Yeah. It's a shame because it was like, I would like defend it. Like for 20 years, I'd go, no, you're wrong. That's a great movie. It's fun. And then you watch it and it's like, oh, boy, I've been wrong for 30 years. This thing's a nightmare.
I've had a couple conversations with friends over the pandemic where, you know, we are watching a little bit more, taking in more stuff. And, you know, somebody defends something hardcore like that from nostalgic purposes.
Right.
And I'll go revisit it. And then they call me back like, yo, God, it was awful. That was terrible. A lot of decisions in the 80s and 90s. Just awful.
You know, one that did, that I'm was glad that it held up was Pretty in Pink is still a good movie. That at least for me, I enjoyed it, and Oliver enjoyed it, and that's as long as Goose is happy, I'm happy.
Well, that's the thing is that it's more fun for you if he's enjoying the movie that you wanted to see what would happen if you watched it, and unless. Like I never like it when I'm like kind of pushing for a movie and once you're watching, you can tell the person you're watching it with is like not into it.
The worst, right?
Because it's just, you can't force them to be into it. No matter how much enthusiasm you have, it's just not going to translate. So what can you give us like an example of one other than Top Gun? Cause yeah, Top Gun is crazy. How oiled up and like, sexy TV commercial that the beach volleyball scene is. It's just insane. It's like that we weren't watching it as teenagers or whatever going, what? Why are we watching this? What is happening? What does this have to do with what I think is the main story, which is a guy that just, you know, won't ever do what anybody tells him, but he wants a career in the military.
Right.
How does the oil move the story forward?
We did a movie interruption of that at a film festival a few years ago.
Oh, you did?
We've come so far, like this, at least this new Top Gun, I'm assuming that the flight sequences won't be just so utterly chaotic and impossible to follow.
Right.
Like in that first movie, I think when it first came out, it was just exciting because there was so much of that kind of stuff in the movie. But now you watch it now, it's like, what's going on? Like it's the effects aren't good.
And to that point, it's, you know, our mutual friend, John Hamm, was telling me that, you know, they lived on that, on a aircraft carrier. They lived on that for like a week or something, shooting some scenes. So like the scenes are going to be real. Like the plane flights are like, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a really cool movie. It could also crap the bed. I don't know anything.
Yeah. I just think that, I would hope that, I think in the early days of his career, you know, Tom Cruise can only have, can only have a certain amount of control. And even though the movies he's in are hits, I think you go back and look at a lot of them, and they stink. But when you see like, you know, the movies he's doing lately, you know, they're just so at worst, you know, like the guy puts in so much effort.
Yeah.
Every time that, you know, kind of pays off, especially considering his, you know, public persona, you know, he's just hasn't scored any points, as a movie star really. So that's another thing that's kind of amazing, that his movies are still big hits, even though, your average person seems to have, you know, disdain for him.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm one of those people. But yet if Tom Cruise has a movie opening, I'm there opening night because I think he's terrific. And
isn't that wild?
Yes. It's you know, I won't go see a Woody Allen movie ever again in my life, but or a Kevin Spacey movie ever makes it. But for some reason, Tom Cruise gets a pass for me. And I don't know why.
You know, because I guess, you know, Scientology, you know, obviously is a big strike against him, but it's such a shadowy, you know, we hear about it and we hate it because it's, you know, they have tons of money and they don't have to pay taxes because it's they call themselves a church, you know, so we see the scam right in front of our eyes.
Right.
And, you know, and there's even a documentary on HBO that just lays it all out there. And yet it still continues to exist and there's nothing we can do about it. So whether Tom Cruise is involved in it or not, what difference does that make when you're watching him, you know, hang on to the side of a plane?
Right. And he's great. And again, he's great. Everything is, I think he's terrific. He's just,
you know, I think he's got roped into Scientology like everybody else that gets into Scientology. Like, yeah. I think he's, you know, kind of just in love with the idea of being a leader and doesn't, you know, think of it as a cult because he's too busy making these crazy movies where he there's nobody that works harder than him.
Yeah.
Like, right. You know, he's constantly running, you know,
literally running. It's still, you know, fast.
It's wild. It'll be interesting to see as time goes on. Cause he did, you know, get into trouble for, you know, he was right to tell people they should, you know, be COVID careful, but he was really rude about it.
Yes, he was.
It was pretty, pretty brutal.
Now he's about to be, is he 60 years old yet? Or if he's not, he's close, right?
Yeah, he's about 58.
So let me ask you a question. Here's a guy who's about to be 60. Do you think you could beat him in a running race?
I don't think I could beat him in a smiling race. he's just, you know, I mean, I like that he's starting to show a little wear and tear. Like he's, you know, he's not as boyish as he was, you know, 5 minutes ago, but,
right.
You know, he's still just, it's just amazing how he's held up. But yes. Part of that is that he's forced himself to live a life of like, he doesn't get to eat junk food. He's got to work out 4 hours a day,
right.
You know,
and I ain't doing that.
No way. You kidding me?
Mm-mm. I'd rather lose the running race to Tom and have a Twinkie than do the alternative.
It's still so wild. Tom Cruise is 58 and Wilford Brimley was 50 when he filmed Cocoon.
Isn't that
makes no sense.
It you know, that one goes around, Doug, and the other one is where the Traveling Wilburys, when that went around, where it was like, look, when they said, this is how old each person was on this cover. And I would have thought they were all 70 years old.
Right.
And they, you know, they were, Tom Petty was 43, Bob Dylan was 48. Like, what?
Those are some young fucking Wilburys.
Yeah, right? It was bizarre.
I mean, that name sounds like it would just have dust on it.
Yes.
And then they're that young.
And by the way, I could be wrong about those ages, but they were much younger than what I thought they would be.
Right. Yeah. They'd all done some hard living at that point.
Oh, no question.
And they were showing the signs.
Well,
but
that one guy, Roy Orbison, he couldn't, he went blind from all the partying.
I mean, I guess that's a good way to, I mean, if you're going to go blind.
Wait, he wasn't blind his whole life, or was he?
He's not blind at all. He just wore sunglasses.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was blind.
No, he's not blind. No. You're blind to the, you're ignorant to his blindness.
Yeah. No, he wasn't one of those guys. Yeah, but he did wear sunglasses all the time, but they were the more like the, you know, like how Robin Thicke wears sunglasses all the time. Like Robin Thicke's not blind, but I swear sometimes I think he is when he can't figure out the identity of the masked singer.
Now, Doug, are you one of the guys, because our mutual friend Scott Aukerman loves the masked singer, enjoys it, thinks it's fun. I can't take a second of it. I watched the first season. Where do you land on masked singer?
I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like it. I'm anti masked singer, but masked dancer.
What?
Yeah, there's masked dancer.
I know, but you can't possibly like that.
I found that a little bit more entertaining just because, you know, like people can't dance. Like the weird part about Masked Singer is there's so many professional singers coming on there.
Right.
Like they it should either all be professional singers or all be goofs, you know, but the fact that it's a mix, like, I don't understand the competition aspect of Masked Singer. Like, are they trying to pick the best singer or the best you can't figure out who I am person?
Big reveal, yeah.
You know, so they just sort of vacillate between those things. And I like my, you know, games with a very specific, you know, goal. And, you know, I don't mind it being complicated, but I want to know exactly what's going on and what, you know, what factors into success. On that show, it just feels like, oh, okay, the Peacock won this season. Oh, great.
Great, right? Who cares?
Yeah.
The Peacock is awesome. The bell. Who cares? Like,
yeah. It's weird. It's weird. Like, I think part of the reason it's so successful is just because those little clips of the person pulling the head off.
Oh my god!
Like, especially when you see, like, you know, the one where like Gary Busey's in there, like he's got an expression on his face, like he thinks he's at home. You know, like it's wild. Like they put some really. They put some people in those things that seem like very hot, complicated costumes to stand around in for any length of time.
Yes.
Like one person, when you do like your encore after you get kicked off, they want you to put the head back on. I forget who it was. I think it might have been Mickey Rourke, who's like, I'm not putting that back on.
Right.
Mickey Rourke was on there?
Yeah. What? I think he got eliminated like the first night he was on. Oh.
Can he sing at this point?
I you know, he got through something. I think he probably sang like Guns N' Roses or something. Yeah.
And I'm guessing Ken Jeung went, I think it might be Smokey Robinson. Yeah, Ken, it's Smokey Robinson.
Yeah, that drives me crazy that the judges have to, you know, have to spend week after week when, like, you know, if they go on the internet for 2 seconds, they can find out who everybody thinks it is, and that's probably who it is.
Right.
But they have to have all these dumb guesses, and the guesses are always like way above the pay grade of that show. People that aren't, there's no way in hell they come on. Right.
I don't know. I'm getting a Tina Turner vibe. Yeah, Tina Turner's doing this show, Ken. Yeah.
But I guess that's the messed up thing is you'd never know. Someone of that stature may just suddenly pop. Like Elton John may be in one of those stupid costumes one day.
Well, if there's ever a Yellow Brick Road costume, you know, it's him.
Yeah. It just, you know, just as a, it's like an intersection of, you know, when a famous person decides they need more, you know, attention and, you know, possibly, money or whatever. Like, can you imagine him kicking off his, I think Elton John would be a hilarious one, especially if he wore something that was just very clearly, oh, that's going to be Elton John in there. Right. Because then they have to sit there and make a bunch of dumb guesses, and everybody's like, it's a Donald Duck costume. It's going to be Elton John.
Donald Duck in a Laker or in a Dodger uniform. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, man. We are so far behind.
Oh.
That's a good
thing. It's not a bad thing. Yeah. Sometimes like there'll be a long silence and then I'll go, oh man, we are so far ahead. Oh. It's really ruining this episode. No. Doug's you've known, Jimmy.
Doug's
there's
I've
me.
Known.
There's Doug Mellard. What other Doug's have you known?
Well, I know the wonderful Doug Jones.
Yes.
There's not honestly one of the nicest human beings on the planet.
Yeah, kind of a king of the Dougs. Doesn't present as a Doug to me. like he seems too cool to be a Doug.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. He's certainly better than you two.
Absolutely.
There was a stage manager I worked with on a TV show. His name was Doug, and I don't remember his last name, but he was a very nice man.
Oh.
There was a baseball player named Doug DeCinsis that I can remember. I didn't know him personally. I don't think I've known a lot of Dougs in my lifetime. Somebody's dad was named Doug. I remember that.
Yeah, it's a typical response when we ask people on this show,
you know,
about their Doug exposure, and it's pretty limited.
You know, I was in a band in high school, and our first drummer's name was Doug Harlow.
Yeah. Right.
So there's a Doug. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to what I call my telephone, and I'm going into my contacts. I'm going to put in the name Doug and see what happens.
Okay.
I got exciting. Doug Benson. Top match is Doug Benson.
Nice.
And then the very funny, this guy's great. Doug Caro. Do you know Doug?
Doug Caro. I don't know him. No.
K-A-R-O. He worked at Conan. Then he was the EP of Dion Cole's TV show. And then I don't know his last name, but he's I have him in here as Douglas Electrician. He's my electrician.
That's a great name.
And he goes by Douglas. He is not a Doug. He goes by Douglas.
Wow. And he's an electrician.
Yeah. And he, boy,
it doesn't seem like it. Douglas doesn't seem like a, you know, a man who knows how to fix things would be called Douglas.
No, no. Douglas seems like a guy that would have a bow tie on and be leading a lecture of some sort.
Yeah.
Douglas, I by the way, electricity.
I'll tell you this about Doug, the electrician. He is about 6'9" and weighs maybe 75 pounds. He is tall and very string beany. And so when he has to go up into the attic to do some electricity, do some work, I don't know how he folds himself up and gets up there. He is, it's like a magic trick when he comes out of there. Like you see him decompress and he comes back to real size. It's fascinating. Douglas, the electrician, is fascinating. And then the last one in here is, and this is the last name, Ileana Douglas. That's the...
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's a last name.
Yeah. And she's terrific, it. Though.
Those are
she's
the only
great.
Four in here that are Doug.
All right. Yeah, I mean, we'll, you know, on this show, we accept someone named Doug, someone who's played a character named Doug, someone whose last name is Douglas, middle name, when somebody's middle name is Doug. We'll take them all, but then ultimately we end up with a guy named Jimmy.
I forgot, Doug. I used to go to dinner every Thursday with Douglas Fairbanks Jr. I forgot about that.
Oh, wow.
So that's, every Thursday.
Every Thursday, I would go with the corpse of Douglas Fairbanks Jr. to In-N-Out. Yeah. He loved it. He loved that secret menu that people won't shut the heck up about.
And you've never played a character named Doug, I don't think.
I don't. You know, I was in a movie called The Godfather of Green Bay, and Tom Lennon played a character named Doug, and it was spelled D-U-G. And, but that is, I don't think I've played a character named Doug. No, I have to say no.
Okay. You're on the record as never having portrayed a Doug. You've never portrayed a Doug. Most people named Doug, you don't even bother to learn their last name.
I have betrayed a Doug. You know what? I was going to say, what if you went to my IMDb page? Because I have not done a lot of acting roles, but what if you looked and they were all named Doug and I don't remember that?
I'm telling you, you know, actors, you can really stump them on questions about their own, you know, characters they've, you know, names of characters they've right. played and stuff. Because it's just, they're on to the, you know, the next character, the you know, the really good ones. All right. So we're going to take a brief commercial break.
Okay.
And then it's time to start asking you directly questions about you, Jimmy.
Okay. Whoa, boy. Okay.
Yeah. And it's called 5 and 5, and we'll be back with that right after this commercial break. We'll be right back.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back, and it is almost time for 5 and 5, where Doug Mellard and Doug Benson each ask our guest 5 questions without having conferred with each other. But before we do that, Jimmy Pardo.
Yes, sir.
We would like you to
eat some leftovers.
Wow, that was, I mean, that sounded like a professional sting, like a professional drop just came in. But that was just Doug Mellard with his Doug Mellard mouth.
Oh.
And what that means, the eat some leftovers means that last week's guest, we didn't get to all of his questions. And, you know, we thought of them and we want answers. So we're going to ask you the leftover questions from a great guest on the show last week, Oscar Nunez.
Oh, I love Oscar. Love Oscar Nunez.
Yeah, so I think you can speak on his behalf in answering okay. these questions. So go ahead, Doug. What did you have that we didn't get to for Oscar?
Number one of the two leftovers I have left. You were in Beethoven's Big Break. What was his big break? I haven't seen it. What happened?
He got the opportunity to actually perform in an orchestra, and it was just a bundle of family fun.
Is that the real deal, or is that...
No, I don't have a clue.
I figured.
Yeah, because I right, mean... Though.
That could be the ending.
I don't think there's any movies about Ludwig von Beethoven called... What was it called?
Beethoven's Big Break.
Beethoven's Big Break. I think that's a sequel in the Beethoven Dog.
Yeah, the dog.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I knew that. I just yeah. I just was making him that he was always wanted to play in the orchestra. That's what was happening. Oh, I know my Beethoven world, Doug. You don't have to condescend to me about the Beethoven world.
But I thought Doug, you know, was didn't know what that movie was by the way he.
No, I know, the dog movie, but I could also see it having a really ridiculous ending because I think that was several sequels in. So who knows what they're doing, you know, like but that's what, or whatever.
But that's what's it's what's bugging me about this Beethoven thing is that, like, you know, Beethoven's Big Break made me laugh. But, like, I think the first few Beethoven's movies are like Beethoven second, Beethoven comes back home, Beethoven. Like, Beethoven is the funniest name to then follow it up with something ridiculous, not something just, you know, that you'd kind of like, you know, I mean, like I wish there was a, you know, Beethoven goes bananas and, you know, and Beethoven goes to Monte Carlo. Those would be movies that I would, how far into the Beethoven series did, who was the dude in the, Charles Grodin? How long did he last, do you think?
I'm going to say one.
I would say one or two, yeah.
I thought he was in two.
Oh, was he really?
I think he's in two. But yeah, that's probably the end of the line for him. But he's the one who legitimized the whole thing. Like, he's so great.
God,
there
great.
Are eight, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Like. What the Christ? All right, tell us the names. Tell us the names of these things, and we'll decide the
Beethoven.
Best name.
Beethoven, Beethoven's second, Beethoven's third, Beethoven's fourth, Beethoven's fifth, Beethoven's Big Break, Beethoven's Christmas Adventure, and Beethoven's Treasure Tale.
Oh boy.
So,
You know, my son, we watched every family movie that there was ever made when he was younger. We'd never watched any of those.
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta, you know, I mean, now it's probably too late. You'll probably hate it. But that first Beethoven, it's got like David Duchovny is like one of the annoying neighbors that Beethoven fucks with. And, Charles Grodin just acts his heart out because he hates Beethoven. He hates him. I hate Beethoven. I hate it. And then, you know, of course, Beethoven's got to win him over somehow by the end of the movie.
Grodin made it to two. Judge Reinhold took over in three.
I like Judge too. Boy, you know what? I'm in on Beethoven. I think we're gonna binge it all.
It's gonna make your top 12 for sure.
Sure.
You think anybody like Judge Reinhold's kids ever when he tells them to do something to dare to say to him, you're not the judge of me?
All right. Every time.
It's got to happen constantly. What a weird ass name. It's just like, I can't get over that guy, that dude that's on the news all the time. And his first name is Major Garrett.
Yes.
It's just like, you can't do that. That's. I mean, maybe you should have named Oliver Lieutenant Pardo.
The lieutenant is ruined because of Forrest Gump, like Lieutenant Dan. You can't call anybody lieutenant anymore without people thinking about that movie.
That's true. Next thing you know, you don't have any legs.
Oh, poor Sinise. Sinise? That's not his name.
That is.
Yeah, it is. Sinise. All right, I got it right. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, it's a weird, it's a strange name to like, it's not the kind of name that I would just refer to him by his last name.
No, it sounds horrible.
Oh, Sinise is here. Oh, really? Are there any side effects? All right. Good first question, Doug. I've got another question for Oscar Nunez we didn't get to last time. It was a simple one. It was just waffles or mochi?
Well, I don't know what mochi is, so I'll say waffles.
Mochi is that delicious ice cream treat from Japan that co-stars with waffles in the children's show on Netflix, Waffles and Mochi.
Oh, boy. I've never seen the program, but I'm going to go. I'm still going to stand by waffles. I think they're delicious.
Well, and that's a terrific answer. I can only assume that's where, you know, Oscar probably would have headed the same way, because you're both adult men folk who aren't scouring Netflix for children's shows hosted by Michelle Obama.
Oh, is she hosting that program?
Yeah. That's what it is. Well, she's like the main human character, and then Waffles, who is a puppet who has waffles for ears and different like waffle things going on. So I guess once they realized he was covered in waffles, they named him Waffles.
And then
Mochi is just a little pink ball of ice cream. And it's adorable. It's like, you know, Baby Yoda level adorable, this Mochi character. And they travel around the world and meet different famous chefs and learn about cooking. But it's basically a kid's show. But all the songs in it are written by Garfunkel and Oates, our friends Ricky and Kate. Yeah. Yeah, so they got to write these songs, and then like really they got, you know, since it's Michelle Obama, they got like really, you know, big artists to like sing the songs and stuff. Like in the first episode, Sia sings a song that they wrote about a tomato singing about how it's a fruit.
Well, that's and all I'm thinking about is that then they get to hang out with the Obamas. That good for all of them.
Yeah, right?
God, amazing. What a joy.
Yeah, that'd be pretty neat. I think it's all been done remotely so far, so I don't think she's...
Well, they'll get to meet one day. This pandemic won't last forever, Doug.
Yeah, no, I'm sure every time they give them another great song, Michelle and Barack are like, let's have brunch sometime.
Of course.
All right, so... I gotta say, I would not expect to do such a good Michelle Obama impression.
It was.
Go ahead, there, Doug. Your next question.
All right, it's a hard one. Godzilla versus Kong. Whose side are you on?
Again, this is Oscar Nunez answering, not Jimmy
Of course,
Cardo.
Of course.
So I see him going Godzilla. I see him as a lizard guy.
That's not what I expected, but
sorry to let you
know.
Down.
You know, that's it's not you, it's Oscar.
Well, maybe you should have sped it up last week so that you could have got the real answer then.
Yeah, that's really it's starting to dawn on me. Like I've got some questions I really want to get the answers to from you today, Jimmy, and we're just chewing up time right now with this stuff. It's crazy. I don't know what we're thinking, but. I can't build up a, you know, you pair any two classic movie characters and have them fight. I could probably pick the one that I would, you know, prefer to win, but I honestly don't have a dog or a monkey or a lizard in the King Kong versus Godzilla fight. I don't care which one wins.
I would go Jimmy Pardo now speaking, no longer in character as Oscar.
Oh, okay.
You know, I saw this movie and, I just wanted it to end. Didn't care who won. But I predicted the ending as we were, driving up there. I turned to Oliver, I predicted ends like this, blah, blah, blah. And then that happened. But I like Kong. I like Kong to win. I like King Kong in general.
I like him. I mean, I don't have any problems with King Kong, but I don't understand their beef. You know, I don't understand why I would want Kong to you know, beat up Godzilla. I mean, do we know which one started it? I mean, this has been going on for a long time.
Godzilla stole a baseball hat from Kong.
Yeah, I think he's right.
All right. Well, then in that case, I'm with you, Jimmy. I'm on Kong's side.
Yeah, you don't have to, you can't support a thief.
I have to say, you know, like, you know, there's obviously Godzilla and King Kong movies that have their, you know, kind of kitsch value, like they're, you know, they're especially the Godzilla movies can get pretty corny and silly and terrible special effects and whatnot. But like, it's weird how the King Kong movies are always like, you know, tend to be more like trying to take it seriously.
Yes. Yeah.
And the Godzilla movies are more like, Godzilla movies are just like, let's just smash shit up and let's, you know, have flames come out of his face and it doesn't even matter like who he's fighting or anything. So my point just being that out of all of it that I've seen, I like the Kong Skull Island a lot.
Oh, that's great. It's a fun one.
Boy, we were, I took my mother before she passed away. She has a love of King Kong as well. And she was disappointed with that because he wasn't sympathetic enough for her.
Right. Yeah, he was a wild beast.
Here's a fun offshoot story that I'll tell very quickly. One time we went to visit my dad in Chicago, Danielle, Oliver, and I. And in the elevator, we get in the elevator of the hotel we were staying in. And these three, comic book looking guys, got in the elevator with us. And they said, are you guys here for G-Fest? And we went, no, we are not here for G-Fest. And then the doors opened and they got out. And then the doors closed. And then we tried to guess what G-Fest was. And we, is it Gunfest? Are we in a hotel with a gun festival? Is it Godfest? It's some weird religion. It was Godzilla Fest.
No way.
And there was a whole convention at this hotel for Godzilla. And then by default, other, classic monsters. But it was mostly Godzilla based. And we snuck into it and Oliver loved it.
I mean, you go to a Godzilla Fest, you're going to run into a Megalon.
Right.
But, not as many as Godzilla's. They're the prominent feature of Godzilla Fest. I didn't know they got that specific.
Yeah, there's G-Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that it's like, also just abbreviated to G-Fest. That's so
right. Yeah. Or what are they like... That sounds like they're trying to hide a scandalous word.
That's what we thought. We're like, that's why we're like, we jumped to either some weird religious cult is happening in there, or oh my God, is the NRA taking over this hotel? What's happening? And nope, it just turns out it's just the love of a fake lizard. All right, great.
Or maybe Gwyneth Paltrow is having a goop fest. Hey. all right, whose turn is it? Is it me again?
You last leftover, I believe.
Oh, finally. Okay, good. Hope you're not too full, Jimmy. There's one last leftover.
Okay.
Did you steal office supplies from the set of People of Earth?
Yes, I took one of the chairs we would use to sit around in group therapy. Yes.
Okay. Did you ever see that show, Jimmy?
I did.
Oh, okay. Because you actually knew something about it. That was impressive.
It was Conoco production. So I watched several of it, and I like my friend Oscar was on it, so I did watch it.
Yeah, that was the show with Wyatt Cenac.
Yes, for the first season, right?
Oh, see, that's I couldn't follow what was going on with the People of Earth, but I what little of it I did watch, I did enjoy. So yeah,
It's back available for streaming right now. It just got released on some streaming platform this week. I want to say.
Beautiful. You're more likely to say it than Oscar. So I'm glad you're here in his place.
Happy to help.
Thank you for eating all of those leftovers, Jimmy.
Sure.
We've got five questions written, especially for you.
All right.
You can, take as little or as much time, don't feel the pressure for us to get to all of them. Cause I gotta be honest. We like to have some leftovers.
Yes, of course. It's fun.
It's fun for the next guest, who is unbooked at this point.
Oh, so boy.
You could, you could be
somebody
anybody.
Good.
Could be anybody has to deal with this. But of course, as always, Melly Mel is up first.
All right, Jimmy. Between your acting credits, do you know how many degrees away from Kevin Bacon you are?
Oh, boy. It's not that far, right? No. Do you have the answer on this, Doug?
I have at least one answer. I'm sure there's multiple.
I think it's close because I think if you go to Dreamgirls, and then it's one away. Somebody in Dreamgirls worked with Kevin Bacon, right?
That's got to be. I mean, Eddie.
Oh, sure.
I
mean, who doesn't love to go away for a weekend and have some nice Beyonce and bacon? Wait, that's not it. Eddie Murphy, Beyonce, Jennifer Hudson, Jamie Foxx,
John Lithgow, John Krasinski,
yeah.
Danny Glover.
Yeah, somebody, I want to say it's Dreamgirls, and I saw him one away from Kevin Bacon, or two away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of those people has to have worked with Kevin Bacon.
That's my guess, but Doug, what did you have?
I developed a much more difficult plot. It was that you were in Dark Air with Terry Carnation that has Rainn Wilson,
yes.
Who was in Juno with Jennifer Garner, who was in Draft Day with Kevin Costner, who was in JFK with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, all right.
But yeah, I think you're one away with Dreamgirls.
I think so. And again, I don't know for a fact. I'm just guessing that because there's so many people involved there that it has to be.
Yeah. Probably right. Lithgow?
Yeah. Oh, wait, yeah. It's John Lithgow. John Lithgow was in Kevin Bacon with Footloose. It's one away. There it is.
Oh, wow. There you go. Wow.
There you go.
Yeah, one away from Bacon.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Streamlined it.
It's exciting. I've never been more excited. I literally answered that like I was in the chair for $1 million on Millionaire. That's how thrilled I just got.
Yeah, that was really, the enthusiasm was off the charts. My first question for you.
Yes, sir.
Is you're stranded on an island with all of the Muppets. It's just you and all the Muppets. Which one do you eat first?
Boy, oh boy. I would say probably Miss Piggy. Again, a nice afternoon of Beyonce and bacon. So I think you got to go Miss Piggy because you could have ham sandwiches. You could have sausage. You could have bacon. There's a lot of options.
It's a very practical answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. She would be a good provider. She'd probably be, you know, much better than Beaker.
Well, Beaker, we need for his scientific expertise.
You're gonna let Beaker live so that he can help out.
Sure, and then Kermit, you let live because you need somebody to have conversation with, and just to keep you sane.
You're not really a fan of French cuisine anyway, right? You're not a frog's legs guy.
I'm not, and I certainly don't like crepes.
All right. Good answer.
Yeah. Doug? All right. We kind of touched on this a little bit with the family movies you guys have been taking in, but as your son gets older, is there a comedy you've been saving and excited to show him?
Oh boy, that's a great question. The answer is obviously yes, but I under duress like this, I'm panicked. And I can't think of it. We did watch Ishtar last night.
Oh, wow. And
the first half of that still holds up, and then it gets boring, and then it's good again at the end.
Did you set it up for Oliver that what we're about to watch is, you know, was a heavily, massively reviled flop? Or
yes.
Okay, so he knew that going in.
We told him all of that. And the reason it came up is two nights ago we watched The Hope Crosby Road to Morocco, which is unwatchable after the first 12 minutes. And so it was like, so somebody suggested, hey, you know what's a great road movie is Ishtar. And I was like, of course it is. Let's watch Ishtar tonight. And then we told them all the background. Then we watched Ishtar. And boy, oh boy, that middle section where it just gets boring is really boring. But
And that volleyball scene is real weird.
No, dude, Doug, you're thinking of the wrong movie entirely.
Oh yeah,
or maybe I
all am. those greased up camels. It's weird.
Very strange. Doug, I don't know the answer to that. I obviously, you know what it is? It's probably Fast Times. I think it would be Fast Times or Ridgemont High.
Oh, that's
that I don't think probably holds up, and I probably wouldn't laugh once at. But that's the one that I keep thinking when he gets old enough. I'll show him that, and because I do think there's a couple of decent laughs in there.
Yeah,
it's like full of irresponsible behavior.
Yes,
and it kind of glorifies some pretty terrible things. But I think that even though, you know, the jokes may not make Oliver laugh, there's just something about, you know, especially Spicoli, but just in general, there's just it's just got a real nice pace to it, and just a lot of, memorable lines, you know, like that's the thing that I think Cameron Crowe ultimately in the end, he's not as much as he'd like to be the new Billy Wilder. I think that his movies are too much just quotable lines that, like, over time, the movie loses something. You know what I mean?
I do, yes. My dad, as a matter of fact, used to always quote Fast Times with the scene where Judge Reinhold's in the bathroom looking at Phoebe Cates on the diving board. And
yeah.
Somebody opens up the door and he goes, "Doesn't anybody ever knock anymore?" And it's a great line. And it's like, I used to think, why is my dad quoting that? It's like, well, your dad's 36. That's why he's quoting it. He's, you know, he's not an old man. He's, he gets it.
So, yeah. And he wanted to be caught, clearly, because why wouldn't he just lock the door?
Yeah, lock the door, Judge.
I'm not here to judge, but that was the move. He wanted to be caught. It was a cry for help.
Yes, it was a cry for help.
Jimmy, this might be a tough one. Might just shoot right out of you. Mm-hmm. What's the best band of all time that isn't named after a city or have the word "the" in their name?
For me? For Jimmy? So you mean for
Jimmy Pardo. Jimmy Pardo. I believe I've eliminated a few of your favorites.
Yeah, you know what? It's it's going to be Journey. It's Journey.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I should have said or bands named after travel.
Yeah. Then I would have said Styx or REO Speedwagon or Foreigner or Triumph or Rush.
Yeah, I said, what if I took Styx and Foreigner off the table? I had that written down.
Did you really?
Yeah. Freestyle, if you could just pick any band, which one's your favorite?
Well, Chicago, of course.
Yeah.
And then Journey. And then, then it gets jumbled with Styx and Foreigner and Iron Maiden and REO Speedwagon. But that's my thing. Yeah, I'm a classic rock guy.
Yeah. No, part of the fun of that question was I knew where we were headed, but right. you still figured out how to.
I snuck around your bullshit.
You did a nice workaround there.
Thank you.
All right, Doug, let's go. We got a couple more minutes.
All right. Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
If you had to get a new tattoo today, what would it be?
You know what I would love to get? I would love to get Bela Lugosi as Dracula. And in that famous pose of him, standing and then holding the cape over half his face. That's what I would get.
Oh, you mean like from Plan 9 from Outer Space?
I don't know if that, I don't, is that a thing? I don't know.
Well, they brought him back when it's just sad. They brought him back when he was old and most of the shots are of his orthodontist, just wearing the costume.
Oh.
And he's a different size. I mean, yeah, it's one of the biggest turkeys of all time, as they like to say.
That's a rad tattoo idea though.
I think it's cool, but I have the two tattoos, and my wife has never said these words, but I think she would leave me if I got a third.
I didn't even know you had two tattoos. Are they they're not in the open?
They are not. In fact, I have them a little higher on my arms than what they would usually put tattoos because I wanted to make sure they could be hidden by short sleeve shirts.
Yeah.
When Oliver was born. Admittedly, I kind of had like a little midlife crisis of, oh my God, I'm about to be a dad. I got to do something crazy. And so I went and got a tattoo. And then it's like, all right, well, this one seems lonely. It needs another one over here. And then it's like, oh, that one seems big. So I'm going to add to this one. So I have two tattoos.
And right. They're both ocean related.
They are nautically based. Yes, the first one is a shark. And the second one is an anchor with my son's name on it because he keeps me steady.
Love it.
All right. Well, just keep in mind that if you're ever, having an argument with him, you could say the anchors because he brings you down.
Yeah, you're dragging me down, buddy.
All right. One more quick one here, and then we got to go. And but we have some terrific leftovers for the next guest.
Okay.
Do you think Dumb Dora was treated unfairly by Match Game?
I think that I do. I don't think Dora was all that dumb. And I think they went out of their way to make her look even dumber than maybe. I think she just maybe was a little bit simple.
Yeah, and like, how could it help her mental development if, like, every time her name comes up, an entire audience screams, "How dumb was she?"
Right? That's not going to make you feel good. That poor woman had to be in therapy till the day she died.
I mean, that's somebody we got to get on the show. Somebody named Dora, because that's got to be a tough name.
Oh,
because I don't know. I can't think of it. If I hear the name Dora, I think, oh, she must be dumb.
Well, there's the one that explores everything. She's pretty sharp.
Right. Well, that's why I think the explorer is in the right there in her name. If the show was just called Dora, people would go, oh, it's just a show about a dumb person.
Right.
But this one's an explorer. Oh, okay. Definitely a different Dora.
Do you remember the movie Larry the Cable Guy starred in? Remember the name of that movie?
Oh, what was it?
I want to say it was Larry the Cable Guy, Pest Exterminator or something like that. Like,
they just saw a pet detective and went, well, what could he be?
Yeah, except this guy already has a job. It's in his name.
Right. Larry the Cable Guy. No, you're right. He was like, a PI or something. It was like Larry the Cable Guy, private investigator. Right.
Like, but his name is his job. What are you doing?
He's moonlighting. He's got several jobs, and two of them are in the title.
All right, hang on. I'm quickly looking it up so that we could. Of course, it doesn't show up. Oh, here it is. It's Larry the Cable Guy, health inspector.
Yeah. Larry the Cable Guy, health inspector, PI.
Yeah, it's
MD.
Again,
it doesn't make any sense
at all. It's Larry
so silly.
The Cable Guy. All right.
All right. I gotta work that into a game on Doug Loves Movies
because
that is ridiculous. Larry the Cable Guy, health inspector. I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
How weird that is.
Right? It's insane. Doug the comedian, fireman. Stupid.
Thank you for opening our eyes on that.
Happy to do it, guys. Happy to the important things. You come to me for the important things.
Well, what have you got to promote, Jimmy, aside from, of course, Never Not Funny, the podcast, part of the Misfit Toys Collective?
Well, we're actually to that point, we actually are celebrating our 15th year this week. So that's exciting for Never Not Funny. And of course, I've got the Jimmy's Records and Tapes, which is available on YouTube, where I discuss this season. I'm discussing my five favorites of a certain topic each week. And those are a lot of fun to watch as well.
That sounds great. Doug Mellard.
I'm just going to, again, find me on social, Doug Mellard. Be safe and check out a band called Rose City Band.
What are they called?
Bands. Rose City Band. Real good stuff.
Okay.
Do they sound at all, Doug? Do they sound like classic rock at all?
I wouldn't say classic rock. I mean, he's got some other bands. It's more like country.
All right.
Rock.
Okay. Well, you lost Jimmy. Jimmy's out.
No, I'm not. I'm back in.
Oh, you are?
Mm.
Sorry.
I like an acoustic guitar. I'm in.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
All right. Rose City Band.
I wrote it down.
Also, rushticks.com is where you go if you want to come to my 420 show virtually. Tickets are $10 and they're available now. rushticks.com/Doug-Sesh. But if you just go to the site, all the shows are just laid out and it's not hard to find mine. Thank you once again to our guest, Jimmy Pardo.
Thanks, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I came up with a good name for this episode. As always, never not Dougie.
Got it.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.